ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। So reading today from 10th canto, chapter number 21, chapter entitled The Gopis Glorify Krishna's Flute, text number 13 and 14. So we'll read text number 13 together. गावश्च कृष्णमुख निर्गत वेणुगीता पीयूषमुत्तबित कर्ण पुतै पिबन्त्या सा वास्नुतस्तान पयकवला मतस्तोर् गोविंदमात्मा निदृशाश्रुकला स्पृशन्त्यः गावश्च कृष्ण मुख निर्गत वेणु गीता पीयूषमुत्तबित कर्ण पुते पिबन्त्या सा वास्नुतस्तन प्रियपय कवला स्मतस्तु गोविंदमात्मानि दृशाश्रुकाल स्पृशन्तः गावश्च कृष्ण मुख निर्गत वेणु गीता पीयूषमुत्तबित कर्ण पुते पिबन्त्या सा वास्नुतस्तन पय कवला स्मतस्तु गोविंदमात्मानि दृशाश्रुकाल स्पृशन्तः Mataji's.
చకృష్ణామతనిర్గతవేను భీష్మ.
Gavaha, the cows, cha, and Krishna Mukha, from the mouth of Lord Krishna, Nirgata, emitted, Venu, of the flute, Gita, of the song, Piyusham, the nectar, Uttabita, raised high, Karna, with the ears, Pute, which were acting as vessels, Pibantyaha, drinking, Savaha, the cows, Snuta, exuding, Stana, from their udders, Payaha, the milk, Kavalaha, whose mouthfuls, Sma, indeed, Tastu, stood still, Govindam, Lord Krishna, Atmani, within their minds, Drisha, with their vision, Asrukalaha, their eyes full of tears, Sprishantayaha, touching. Translation. Using their upraised ears as vessels, the cows are drinking the nectar of the flute song flowing out of Krishna's mouth. The cows, their mouth full of milk from their mother's moist nipples, stand still as they take Govinda within themselves through their tear-filled eyes and embrace him within their hearts. There's no purport here, so we'll read the next verse. Prayo batamba vihaga munayor vanesmin krishnekshitam taduditam kalavenu gitam aruya yedruma bujan ruchira pravalan shrinvanti milita drisho vigayantya vachaha. Translation and purport by the disciples of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada. Translation. O Mother, in this forest all the birds have risen onto the beautiful branches of the trees to see Krishna. With closed eyes they are simply listening in silence to the sweet vibration of His flute, and they are not attracted by any other sound. Surely these birds are on the same level as great sages. Purport. The birds resemble sages because they live in the forest, keep their eyes closed, observe silence, and remain motionless. Significantly, it is stated here that even great sages become maddened by the sound of Krishna's flute, which is a completely spiritual vibration. The word ruchira pravalan indicates that even the branches of the trees are transformed in ecstasy when struck by the vibration of Krishna's flute song. Indra, Brahma, Shiva and Vishnu, being primordial gods, travel throughout the universe and have extensive knowledge of the science of music. And yet even these great personalities have never heard or composed music like that which emanates from Krishna's flute. Indeed, the birds are so moved by the blissful sound that in their ecstasy, they close their eyes and cling to the branches to avoid falling off the trees. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains that the gopis would sometimes address each other as Amba, Mother.
Om ओमज्ञानतिमिरन्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनाशलाकया चक्षुरोन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरुवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टां स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपा कदा मह्यं पदान्तिकं वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरो श्रीयुतापदकमलं श्रीगुरुं वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपां सागरजातां सहगणा रघुनाथान्वितं तां सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिचनासहितं देवं श्रीराधा कृष्णपदां सहगना ललितां श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च हे कृष्णा करुणा सिन्धो दीनबन्धो जगत्पते गोपिका कान्ता राधाकान्ता नमोऽस्तु ते तप्तकाञ्चना गौराङ्गी राधे वृन्दावनेश्वरि वृषभानु प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये वाञ्छाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्यैव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासदि गौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 रामो राम रामो हरे हरे
यूजिंग देयर अप्रेस्ड इयर्स एज वेसल्स द काउज आर ड्रिंकिंग द नेक्टर ऑफ द फ्लूट सॉन्ग फ्लोइंग आउट ऑफ कृष्णाज माउथ द काउज देयर माउथ्स फुल ऑफ मिल्क फ्रॉम देयर मदर्स मॉइस्ट निपल्स स्टैंड स्टिल एज दे टेक गोविंदा विद इन देमसेल्व्स थ्रू देयर टीयर फिल्ड आईज एंड एम्ब्रेस हिम within their hearts. Hare Krishna. So we are continuing to read from this particular pastime. The gopi is glorifying Lord Krishna's flute. And in this particular verse we see how the cows and the calves are affected by the sound that is coming from the flute. And if you see the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam, particularly the 10th canto, we see so many different pastimes that are connected with the Lord where there are cows, calves, and cowherd boys, and of course the gopis are now participating in Lord Krishna's pastimes. And particularly if you see the relationship that Krishna enjoys with the cows and the calves, you know, makes this particular animal so special. And as one reads the various pastimes, or one goes through various pastimes, particularly when Krishna and Balaram leave their home along with the cows and the calves, all those 900,000 cows that were owned by Nanda Maharaj, and Krishna was so personal that he would know the names of each and every one of the cows. And we see in this material world also how just the name of a particular person, for him, how sweet it is. In fact, it is said that the most or the sweetest word in a dictionary for every individual is his name. Because, you know, he identifies himself with that name. And, you know, when you call out a particular person, or when you remember his name after you have seen that person after a very long time, that person feels so much touched oh, this person remembers my name, right? And immediately there is a bonding with that person, right, who has called you out by his name. So this is the power of remembering somebody's name, that that person immediately becomes so intimately connected to you, that he would never ever forget that relationship. And so we see the same thing here in Lord Krishna's relationship with the cows. And here in this particular verse, the cows are reciprocating by listening to the sound that is emanating from Lord Krishna's flute, by becoming stunned, because they are able to identify the flute with Krishna, and because they are having that personal intimate relationship with Krishna, the moment they hear the flute, it is as if their name is being called out, right? And it is described over here that the calves, who are actually drinking the milk of their mother, they become stunned and they don't even swallow the milk that is there in their mouths. And in the next words, Sukadeva Goswami describes how the birds also get so much affected by the sound that is emanating from Lord Krishna's flute. Now, why is it that in the spiritual world we see that there is such a wonderful reciprocation between the Lord and his associates? Of course, there are several reasons for this, but one reason that I could think of is that in the spiritual world, there is no anxiety. The relationship that is there between the Lord and his associates is so pure that the associates, whether they are in the form of cowherd boys or girls or animals or even the plants and the trees, they reciprocate with Lord Krishna so wonderfully that they are able to just go about their lives without any anxiety. And since this material world is a perverted reflection of the spiritual world, right, and this material world has been created by the Lord so that the living entity can remember him and somehow or the other, you know, fix his mind upon him and make him into the goal of his life, the Lord has made this particular place into a place filled with anxiety. And unless and until a person is elevated in his Krishna consciousness, you know, everybody in this material world is actually undergoing so much of tribulation and so much of, you know, suffering on account of this anxiety. And most of the anxiety, if you see in this material world, stems out of fear. And the fear is, how do I achieve something in this material world? How can I acquire a particular position? How can I acquire a certain amount of wealth? How can I acquire a certain amount of status in society? And irrespective of whatever his social standing may be, his needs are such that he constantly aspires to keep on fulfilling them. Like recently I was hearing one very well-known person who was saying that in this, he was referring to Bombay, where people are by and large, you know, struggling with just being able to earn a reasonable livelihood. The goal of an individual is to somehow or the other strive to be much better than what his neighbor is. So if neighbor is having a 2-bedroom flat, then he will strive to have a 3-bedroom flat. And his entire effort will be focused only on trying to achieve that particular thing. And he was mentioning that if a particular person is traveling by a second class compartment in the train, his aspiration is to move on to the first class. And then if somebody is traveling in the first class, his aspiration is to move on to the AC. And somebody who has gone through all that in the train wants to move on to an aeroplane and wants to, you know, travel by air. And then once he, you know, reaches that particular stature of in life, then his next aspiration is to travel by business class. And even that doesn't make him happy, because once he moves over there, then he wants to own his own private jet. And this is actually what moves a person throughout his life. And at the end of his life, then he sits back and wonders what has happened, what is it that he has been striving for. But a person who is fixed up in proper consciousness, who has a realization that this material world is temporary, it's a place of misery, and somehow or the other we have to go through life tolerating all these inconveniences, for him, it's not such a big deal. And when a materialistic person comes across an individual who has apparently, you know, mastered his senses and who is tolerating the difficulties that is there in this world, I mean, he's just not able to understand. How can this person ever not be affected by what is going on around him? In fact, we all know, once Giriraj Swami was giving this particular anecdote about Alexander the Great. Now, we all know Alexander was a world conqueror. And he was not just happy, you know, conquering one country, but he wanted the second and the third and the fourth, and, you know, this, it was such a passion in him to keep on conquering countries until he came to India. And then he comes to a particular place where he sets up his camp. And in the morning when he gets up, as he was going on his walk, he suddenly comes across a clearing, and there's a huge fire that is raging around in that particular place. And I mean, he was a little bit surprised to see a fire in the middle of the forest. So he just saw a little bit inside the fire, and he was surprised to see that there was a person who was sitting in a meditative pose and completely oblivious to this fire. So Alexander the Great was very much surprised, and just by that time the sun had already come up, and in fact the sun was blazing on the one hand, and there was this fire around this person, and this person was apparently sitting over there completely undisturbed. So Alexander just told one of his servants to make a way through the fire, and then he approached the sage, and then the sage opened his eyes. So then Alexander told him that, you know, I'm so astonished to see you tolerating so much of inconveniences. How is it you're able to do this? And irrespective of that, whatever benediction you want from me, you can ask. I'm ready to give you any benediction that you ask. I mean, in his own way, he was thinking that, you know, the sage is actually, or whatever, this person is actually wanting something, you know, for which he is going through all these austerities, because that's a natural thing that one sees in this material world, that when a person is undergoing austerities, then it's actually for some particular reason that he is undergoing it. But anyway, this person just did not respond, and Alexander kept, you know, asking him, please tell me, what can I give you? And finally the sage looked at him in complete disgust and said, I need only one benediction from you. And that benediction is, move out of my way. You are blocking the sun. So Alexander was completely taken aback. And oftentimes we hear this particular story of this, I don't know whether it's a true story or not, but maybe it actually happened. There was this wealthy, really wealthy zamindar who owned a huge, huge amount of land. And one day he felt very compassionate in his heart, so he calls this, he calls a very poor man in his village and tells him that tomorrow morning at dawn you can start walking or you can start running, whatever you want, over my property. And you can run as far as you want, but the only condition is that you have to come back before it becomes sunset. And if you reach back to this destination before it becomes sunset, then whatever land you have covered in the amount of time that you have taken to run that distance, that land is yours. So this poor man was very much excited. And the next day morning, first, you know, he got up very early and then prepared himself. And, you know, as immediately as it became dawn, it started running and running and running and running and running. And then he ran for several miles. And then he just kept thinking to himself that if I run a little bit more, that land also will become mine. And that land also will become mine. That land also will become mine. Right? And, you know, before he realized it, he saw that it was already becoming late afternoon. And then he had to come back. You know, because that is a condition that unless and until you reach back before sunset, you know. So, then he decided, okay, let me stop now. Let me turn back. This is all that I can do for one day. And then he started coming back. But then as he was coming back, he realized that in order to cover the amount of distance that he had actually covered, he really had to run very fast. And he was running and running and running and running. And finally, when he reached the destination, which was just about to be the time for the sun to set, this person had a massive heart attack and he died. And finally, what is the amount of land that he actually ended up owning after this all this entire endeavor? A 6x3 piece of land where he was buried. Right? So that's the final destination for all of us. Which, and if we do not somehow or the other understand what is the goal of life, before that our destination comes, then we have actually missed the bus. Recently there was a very, very interesting case about a very prominent personality. And in fact, this person had led such a life that somebody was inspired to write a book about his achievements. From a material perspective, this person had really achieved a tremendous amount of success. You know, he was right there in the corporate world, and he was sitting on the boardrooms of several corporations in the United States of America, a very, very respected personality. And his personal wealth itself was estimated to be nearly $100 million. And I was just reading some excerpts from this person's life, and I was really fascinated because somehow Krishna had bestowed on this person so much of opulence, not just in terms of wealth, but in terms of intelligence, in terms of, you know, charisma, and in terms of, you know, being ability to convince people. And he was one of those personalities who was really so highly respected in the corporate world that, you know, people would want to invite him into their corporations and make him sit on the board of their companies. But just one small mistake that this person made, and that too at the age of 60, all because this person happened to be coming into the wrong association. Of course, we understand from the scriptures that, you know, sometimes a mistake is actually ordained by the Lord, like we see in the case of Parikshit Maharaj, that it was a mistake that he put the snake around the neck of this sage, Shramik Rishi, right? Because here was Parishrit Maharaj, who actually had darshan of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the womb of his mother. But the Lord wanted that Srimad Bhagavatam should be spoken, and he wanted to make use of Maharaj Parikshit to be the recipient of Srimad Bhagavatam from Sukadeva Goswami, so that all of us could have the benefit of hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. So Krishna arranged for that particular mistake to be made by Parikshit Maharaj, right? But in the case of this particular individual, at the age of 60, just because he happened to be in the association of one person who was a billionaire, and it was his desire that he should be also falling into the same league as this person, on one particular day when there was a discussion in the boardroom of one of the companies that he was a director of, and he was privy to this information that was discussed in that boardroom, which would have a tremendous impact on the share price of that company on the next day when the stock market opened for trading. This person, just in fact 8 minutes before the stock market was to close on the previous day, he calls another person who was his very close friend. And unfortunately for him, it so happened that the other person was already being surveillance was already carried out on this particular person. The Securities Exchange Commission of USA, they were already keeping tab on him, and all his phones were already tapped. And when this person makes this call 8 minutes before the closing hours of the stock market on that particular day, his voice was recorded, and he gave the message to this particular person that this particular company, there was a decision taken which would have a very positive impact on the stock price the next day. And immediately after this information was conveyed, the other person acquired a massive quantity of shares in that company. And this person who had given this information, he had absolutely no clue that his voice has been recorded, because the whole conversation was taped by the FBI. And within a year, this person, who was so highly respected, became sentenced to serve 2 years in jail. And this particular article was describing all that he had achieved in terms of material possessions. He had a house in this particular place on the ocean side, and he had a house in this particular apartment building in Manhattan, and so on and so forth. But then finally, at the end of the day, what was the use of all these possessions? Because he had lost that thing which was the most valuable to him, his integrity, right? Just in order to make a few more dollars. And today he is thinking to himself that, you know, if only I had not made that mistake. Also, we see from the pages of the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Now we have this personality like Gopinath Patanayaka, right? Who was actually a very, very wealthy person. But somehow or the other, Gopinath Patanayaka thought that he could make more money than what he was actually making, and that the king would not come to know about it. And he started keeping aside more money than he was actually entitled to. And then at some point of time, the king came to know about it. And then the king said that, you know, in order to recover the money, you can just do what is necessary. It's a long story. But then the prince, who was actually offended by Gopinath Patanayaka, you know, he ordered that Gopinath Patanayaka should be put on the changa. Now, changa is a very special sort of, you know, death that used to be given to criminals in those days. You know, there used to be a hole that would be dug, and there would be spears that would be pointed upwards, and a person would be put on the platform, and then that platform would be removed and that person would fall onto those swords and he would suffer a very, very painful death. So Gopinath Patanaika was put on the Changa. And all the devotees, when they came to know that Gopinath Patanaika was put on the Changa, they all ran to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and then they requested Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, please, Gopinath Patanaika, you know, who is such a dear servant of yours, the whole family in fact, the Ramanand Rai, you know, he was, Gopinath Patanaika was one of the five brothers. So he said, these are the dear most servants of yours, my dear Lord, so please save him. And then the Lord asked, why is it that Gopinath Patanaika has been put on the Changa? So then one of the devotees said, I mean told the Lord the whole story, what happened. And then the Lord said, so what? If this person has done something in order to take away more money than is what is actually entitled to, then the king is entitled to be giving him this punishment. So what's wrong about that? And the Lord said, please don't make me into a party to this. I mean, at the most what you can do is you can pray to Jagannath now. That's all that I can advise you in this particular situation. And then somebody went and told the king that Gopinath Patanaika has been put on the Changa and he's about to be killed. And then the king was very surprised and he said, but I didn't order Gopinath Patanaika to be put on the Changa. Why should he be put on the Changa? In fact, this person who went and told him about this also told him that what's the use of putting Gopinath Patanaika on the Changa? You know, it's not going to get your money back. So then the king said, no, I didn't order that Gopinath should be put on the Changa, so please see to it that he is removed out of the Changa. And then Gopinath Patanaika is brought down and, you know, he in fact is honored by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, by Maharaj Pratap Rudra for, you know, because then Gopinath Patanaika comes to Maharaj Pratap Rudra and tells him that, you know, I'm very sorry, but I have these horses which could actually be taken as a compensation. But just that the prince was not giving me an adequate price for the horses. And that's the reason why I was feeling very much, you know, offensive to the king, to the prince. So the king said that that's fine, whatever you did, but please don't do this again. And in fact, if you need more money, then I will just double your salary. So then Gopinath Patanaika went to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and fell down at the feet of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and requested. And all the devotees were gathered around Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and glorifying the Lord and telling the Lord that it is because of you, my dear Lord, that actually this person has not only been given double his salary, but has also been given this official recognition, you know, by having a silver turban that was placed on his head. So we see over here how Gopinath Patanaika did make an obvious mistake. And when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was asking the devotees, what did Vaninath Patanaika do? Because Vaninath Patanaika was also one of the brothers who was arrested as soon as Gopinath Patanaika was arrested. Vaninath Patanaika was also arrested. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was told that Vaninath Patanaika was actually chanting the Hare Krishna Mahamantra continuously. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very pleased to hear that. He said, oh, this is the glory of a devotee, right? That he remembers Krishna at the time of difficulties. So difficulties come into the life of, or will definitely come into the lives of all of us. And even if you see from the life of Srila Prabhupada, you know, so many difficulties he encountered, right? And one particular difficulty, you know, that came into his life was when all his possessions were taken away, you know, his factory was burgled and somebody, you know, just stole away all his money. And at that time when Srila Prabhupada was given this news, Srila Prabhupada actually laughed and said, Yasyaha Manugranami Harishe Taddanam Janai. You know, when a devotee of the Lord is a recipient of mercy, then actually the Lord gives him whatever he wants. But when he becomes a recipient of very special mercy, then the Lord takes away whatever he possesses. So sometimes, you know, we see that devotees also go through a tremendous amount of difficulties in their lives. And sometimes devotees, you know, they start questioning to themselves, why is it that this particular difficulty is coming in my life? I've been serving the Lord for so many years. You know, so religiously I've been serving the Lord, but why is it that this particular difficulty is coming in my life? And he actually starts losing faith in the whole process of Krishna consciousness. But this is actually, for a devotee, a test that Krishna is putting him through. How he is able to face that particular difficulty and how he actually faces that difficulty at that particular time is what Krishna is actually seeing. And for sure, each and every one of us sitting over here would at some point of time or the other would be going through a situation which is going to be intensely difficult. Right? Because going back home, back to Godhead is not such an easy exercise. It is going to be made difficult by Krishna himself by giving us so many different tests. Some may be small, some may be big. But Krishna is seeing at that time, how are we responding to that particular difficulty? Are we thinking that Krishna doesn't exist anymore? Or Krishna never existed? Then we actually only fare with the devotees. We only want to take to the process of Krishna consciousness when Krishna is kind to us. When Krishna gives us whatever we want. When everything is going on very nicely in our lives. We think at that time Krishna consciousness is so easy for us to practice. But then when Krishna puts difficulties in our life, then we actually lose faith in Krishna. And we think, why is it that Krishna is doing this to us? After all the years of service that I have given to him, why is Krishna doing this to me? Then we should know at that particular point of time that we are actually not made adequate advancement in our Krishna consciousness. This is a test that Krishna is putting us to. And unfortunately, we have not passed the test. We have still way to go before we are ready to be called back to Krishna's abode. So this verse, Tatenu Kampam Sushamikshamano Bunjana Evatma Kritam Vibhaga, has been prayed for by Brahma only for this reason. That when a devotee experiences difficulties in his life, he actually thinks that Krishna, you should have actually given me much more difficulties. But whatever difficulty you have given me is so insignificant that I am able to tolerate it. So all the difficulties that Srila Prabhupada tolerated in his own life in terms of his health and, you know, in terms of all the opposition that he faced in his spreading of Krishna consciousness in the Western world, Srila Prabhupada was not affected by it. Even if you see the difficulties that he plays in getting this land at Juhu, I mean, from even to our mind, we would think that that particular difficulty was so insurmountable. Why would a sannyasi ever want to fight against such a demoniac personality who is having such a high position in society? Even we as grahasthas would hesitate to enter into a fight like that and say, forget about it, you know, I mean, this is just Krishna's arrangement. It's not something that I didn't deserve it in any case. We would think like that and just give it up. But no, because Srila Prabhupada was convinced that since Radha Ras Bihari had already moved into this property, I have to do my best in order to get this property for Sri Radha Ras Bihari. And Srila Prabhupada fought, you know, which is very unusual for a sannyasi to be doing. But he did it. And today we have this beautiful temple in Juhu, right, for all of us to experience the glory of Srila Prabhupada's fight, right? So this are the beacon lights for us. You know, when we come across difficulties in our life, let us sit down and introspect and be grateful to Krishna. Externally, it may be difficult for us to accept it, but internally, we should be convinced that this is what actually Krishna wants for us. This is what Krishna is putting in front of us so that we can become more strong in our Krishna consciousness. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.